welcome to the St. David's Podcast, Shining a Brighter Light. It's our hope that over the next few weeks, we'll help you discover the light that has been placed inside you, the light that God has given you to shine into this world. And it's our prayer that these conversations will complement the sermons and other materials at St. David's over the next few weeks in the season of Epiphany as we seek together to do this work. Today, we have something of an introductory conversation. Today I have with me the Reverend Deacon Kathy Holman, one of our own parishioners, and a spiritual director, trained and practicing spiritual director, who's here to introduce us to the topic of discernment and prepare our hearts to do a bit of that work. She'll appear in other podcast episodes as well. We talked before this episode a little bit about how this is something of a five or six course meal, and we want to start off with an appetizer just to, again, get you ready for the work ahead and have your heart and your mind prepared for the courses that are to follow. But also, some of you are going to be experiencing the language and practices around discernment for the first time, and so it's good for us to start off with some analogies and some ways to enter into this conversation with a little bit of a lower bar, we might say. We have this week a great way of entering into the conversation, and that is that this week is going to bring to us the feast of the Epiphany of our Lord Jesus Christ, one of the great feasts of the church. We'll talk more about that here in a moment. And it provides a great window into the work of discernment. Before we jump in there, though, Kathy, welcome, and it's great to be with you. I would love for you to introduce yourself to those who might not know you here at St. David's.
Great, thank you. My name is Kathy Holman, and I am a retired deacon in the Diocese of Atlanta. I appreciate the invitation. And
glad to have you.
Have done retreat work. I led two bishop pilgrimages with Neil Alexander, and have done retreat work and spiritual direction with lay and ordained folks. Been the president for the Diocese of the Daughters of the King, was where I got my start in my spiritual walk, I guess I would say. That's about me.
How long have you been doing spiritual direction work?
Oh, let's see. I was trained at the Shalem Institute for Spiritual Formation, and that was in 1993, I think, something like that. So it's been a while.
Coming in on 30 years, Kathy.
Oh, my gosh, don't say that.
That's incredible. That's incredible.
So, yeah, it's been a long, but so very satisfying.
Well, no doubt you've helped a lot of people along the way on their journey. It's a road we make by walking, and it helps to have companions in the walking. Will you, for those who might not know, tell them a little bit about what you're doing with your spiritual direction ministry currently?
Yes, right now I am involved in doing the spiritual exercises of Saint Ignatius of Loyola, and in connection with Ignatius House, which is a beautiful, marvelous, what do I want to say, place of faith and learning. So I'm in the midst of doing that. I am on their list of spiritual directors and kind of working towards, hopefully, an affiliation with them as they train spiritual directors. And that's another thing that I am doing with them, is that I'm helping them organize peer supervision groups and helping their directors in formation. I meet with them and help guide them as they learn that ministry.
That's great. So if you can't tell, there's a reason I have Kathy here to talk with us. We have an expert in the room, and it's not me. That's for sure. Ignatius House is a wonderful organization. I'm glad that you are working with them. That's a place that has been meaningful to me in my own journey. even through my master's program in seminary, the idea of doing real discernment work as a continuous journey, the process of tending to my own spiritual care in the same way that we would talk about tending to our physical or emotional care, that wasn't part of the training in seminary. And so it took 3 years out of seminary before I really started to develop a relationship with a spiritual director and go on silent retreats at Ignatius House. That's what set me on the journey that I'm currently on. And that was coming in on 9 years ago now.
That
I went on my first retreat at Ignatius House. So a wonderful, wonderful place. And again, glad that you are finding people to help in that way through that particular venue as well.
Yes, and the exercises have been, I was familiar with the Ignatian exercises, but moving through them, a very different and transformative experience. So, yeah.
We have not mapped out every future episode, but I am sure that in future episodes we'll talk a little bit about different types of spiritual practice and how they can help lead us toward clarity about God's will for us, our desire to follow God's will, and developing perhaps even courage to do so. Mm-hmm. And for, I think, a lot of people, the idea of what people who are very attentive in their spiritual lives would be doing is some kind of contemplative centering prayer. And sure enough, that works for a lot of people. For many others, Ignatian spirituality provides a different avenue. It's a little bit more active and imaginative in some cases. And for me, it allows my brain to actively engage versus trying to turn itself down to passively receive. And that really, really helps me stay engaged in the long run. So Kathy and I sat the other day and had a cup of coffee and enjoyed conversation about discernment and about the gift that each of us has to offer, and the gift that developing your spiritual practice to lead you toward deeper discernment, what a gift that can be to you and to others. And in that conversation, we discussed Epiphany and we discussed this upcoming podcast, and Kathy had a lovely way of reflecting on the story, the original story of the Epiphany, as an entry point to this conversation. Kathy, I would love for you to share a little bit about that with everyone.
Sure. I had attended a silent retreat at Ignatius House just recently, and one of the scriptures that we were meditating on was the wise men's visit to Mary and Joseph and Jesus. And in my meditation, and as you referenced earlier, this imaginative, not searching for the theological meaning or the academic.
This isn't exactly Bible study.
Right. Or the academic understanding, is to take a piece of scripture and enter it as if you were one, or even just observe it, be an observer. And a couple of things struck me. That we've all heard the story of the wise men coming from the Far East, and interestingly enough, they saw a great light, and that was the attraction, and that was their journey, was based on following that great light. And the scripture says that the wise men saw the star and were joyous. Mm. They were so excited to see that. The next thing they did was that they entered the space. They called it a room. We think of it as a stable, which is fine. Mm-hmm. They saw Mary with the baby. And then it says they worshiped him. They bowed down and worshiped him. And then the next, in the translation that I was reading, the next phrase kind of caught me, because it says they looked into their treasures and then they presented Jesus with a gift. Mm-hmm. Now, all of my life I had imagined the three wise men, beautifully silhouetted.
Right. That's right.
Yes. With the star in front of them, and each one had a little something. Mm-hmm. You know, we know gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And that was kind of the intended gift. Like you get into your car and you've got the, you know, the package in the seat next to you. But when I read that phrase, they looked into their treasures. And of course, they would have been traveling with many different things.
Right, right.
They looked into their treasures and they chose what they wanted to offer Jesus. Mm. And I thought that just in parallel to some of the things that I'm personally going through, I have come to God so many times saying, you know, you've placed me in front of these teachers, you've taken me to this program, you've all of these things that I literally have fallen into, and what will I offer back?
Yeah.
That it's our choice, and I think that speaks a lot to discernment. And then the next thing that I noticed was the scripture tells us that they left by another way, which spoke to me, once again, I said, in my personal life, that the way that I've been walking is not necessarily the way that I will continue to walk.
Yeah.
Presenting this gift to the divine and then leaving by another way.
I love it. Yeah. So I want to come back. I mean, both of those represent sort of options, that there are maybe ideals, maybe not ideals. It depends on the moment, but there's an archetypal choice, perhaps. But you have a lot of other choices also. Yeah. And
it is our choice.
It's our choice, which is in its own right a gift that we receive to be able to make the choice. There's so many things in this analogy. It's so rich. So I want to come back to the Magi as traveling with many different gifts. That's a concept that I've never given consideration to at all. I love that. That they, no doubt, they came and they had honey and milk and silver and all sorts of things, but they chose these very specific gifts. And the Bible study part would perhaps lead us to conclusions about why they chose these three specific gifts. There's a whole realm of interpretation on why those three specific gifts. But for us, the work is to go back and say, but they had other options and they looked into their treasure to choose these three.
Right.
What would you choose?
So
you start off with maybe even gratitude and the recognition that you have many gifts. God's brought you to a lot of places.
God has given you so many.
Yes, I love that.
Yes, that we all have been the recipient of, well, everything we have is from God. And the other thing that I like and that occurs to me, that, you know, we think of the impoverished people who came to visit Jesus, shepherds and the dirty sheep and the, you know, all of that. And the drummer boy, I mean, that's even, you know, what am I going to give him? The drummer boy couldn't think of a gift and yet came up with something that was pleasing to God. But here are these very well-to-do men who were probably traveling with servants also. I mean, they wouldn't have just been, they had a ride, they didn't walk.
Right. That's right.
And so I like that this is something that happened for all people.
Right. Yeah.
Across every kind of occupation or state in life. And these men looked into everything that they had, everything that they were given, and they chose, and they were loved in the choice. As we consider what are in the treasures that we carry all the time, and what is it that you want to give? We want to give good gifts. We don't. We always want, you know, the perfect gift for the right person, and because
at the right time,
at the right time, right, and so this is one of the beauties that came out of this meditation for me.
That's great. Well, I also want to return to the journey. You just mentioned a moment ago that they had a ride. There's the journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem is long enough that we assume that Mary probably was riding on a donkey or something like that at her stage of pregnancy. The Magi, if the biblical studies side of this leads us in the right direction, they're probably coming from somewhere in the vicinity of Persia.
Mm-hmm.
Their journey might have been hundreds and hundreds, if not 1,000 miles plus. They had a long way to go. Let's put it that way. So their journey took them a long time. They had time to ponder and time to consider the gifts that they were carrying with them. They had to use gifts, no doubt, in the journeying so that they could utilize the gifts that they had to do the giving to Jesus, to Mary and Joseph in that moment. And then their journey back didn't look the same. If you're not familiar with the story, Herod, who is the sort of puppet king of the area, but certainly has a lot of power and wants to maintain that power and is threatened by the notion of there being a child born the king of the Jews, and so will do whatever he can to eliminate that threat. He has decided to question these Magi and wants to know where this child has been born, and they escape his grasp, but as a result, they cannot go back the way that they came in. Otherwise, they will be caught in the snares of Herod once again. And so from time to time in our journey, our spiritual journey, we'll run into obstacles, and we will have something other than God working alongside us, or against us, rather,
right,
to keep us from being able to take the steps on our journey that we might otherwise want to take. And sometimes that's benign. It's just that the path won't be our familiar path anymore. That's
and remember, they're warned in a dream, which is another mystical, magical kind of... we have intuitions.
Yes.
That sometimes are helpful guides.
Right, right.
And they trusted and had faith in this dream, and so they obeyed it. And obey, I guess, maybe is kind of a strong word, but they listened to it, and they went on a different road in trust and faith that was what they needed to do.
Right.
Which coincides also with Joseph's dreams.
Yes.
To go to Egypt and also to accept Mary.
Right.
So it's a wonderful puzzle piece.
Yes. And again, a good way of us looking into some of what we'll have to discuss in this podcast. Intuition is a valuable resource to have, giving consideration to what is showing up in your dream life, especially if it's happening with any sort of repetition. Finding themes that pop out as patterns to you in journaling or in prayer or even in your reading, that God is always trying to speak to us. Mm-hmm. It's one of the promises. And very rarely is that going to show up in the average person's life as a disembodied voice calling out, Remington, it's time for you to do this. But very often that will come up as a repeated insight in one form or another that begs to be listened to. And so
often in the shower or in the car is where
yes, that's right.
Oh yeah.
And no doubt we'll talk more about making sure that we cultivate the space in which we can listen to that voice. It calls out to us in those moments, perhaps for a reason, because I know for me, I occupy the rest of my time in such a way that it's very difficult to listen in most of my other spaces.
Exactly.
So, again, entry points today. We'll come back to some of these conversations later, but I hope you can see a little bit on the horizon that we'll have conversations about finding space and utilizing your intuition and finding patterns and making a choice from the gifts that you recognize that are within you and around you that God has entrusted to your care. These are all such wonderful themes for this series and this podcast. So one last thing that you said a moment ago, Kathy, that I just want to come back to is that the Magi, we typically understand the Magi or the three kings to be three specific men who lived at one particular period of time, and they did this particular action. And that, again, is helpful from the biblical studies perspective, maybe to go in and look at that and try to discover more. But we run into an obstacle there in that Scripture doesn't name them. Scripture doesn't say that they were even three. Scripture just points us to there being magi or wise men from the east who see the star that's rising, recognize it, are joyful, and go on this journey.
Right.
And the number of them is left unclear. Their identity is shrouded in anonymity. And for me, that lack of detail is a beautiful invitation for me to see myself as one of them.
Yes.
That if they are three specific men with three specific names that lived at this particular time and so on and so forth, then this is a historical nugget, and that's fine. But because they are anonymous, I can say, well, maybe I'm one of them too.
Well, that's just, and I think that's the beauty of the Ignatian understanding of getting into Scripture or meditating with Scripture, mm-hmm. is that, once again, we're not looking for theological specifics or even meaning, that we're, because I could read that story again and not see those same words.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
our
right.
Scripture is a living, and one of the things that is encouraged in Ignatian Scripture meditation is that, I know people do this with Lectio Divina, smell the smells.
Yes, yes, right.
You know, be an onlooker,
right.
Or be one of the magi, or be Mary or Joseph.
Yes.
You know, what are these people doing here, and who are they, and why are, as Mary ponders all these things in her heart.
Yeah, and treasures them.
Right, and treasures them. So, yeah, I think that's a huge and wonderful invitation that we have to do with our Scriptures. So that's an excellent point.
This is another one of those areas of contrast with the way that much American spirituality works, that we tend to be driven by some kind of cultural desire for precision as it relates to getting the answers and being certain about the answers in Scripture or in theology. And in that, again, I'm not knocking it. That can be helpful in certain practices. But in the practice of your spiritual discernment, in the practice of your ongoing relationship with God, this is a different kind of art.
Right. It's that spiritual freedom that God gives us, freedom and, what is it, free will.
Yes.
And that needs to be part of our practice.
Right.
I think we're always looking for the truth.
Yes, yes.
Or God's true will.
Right.
And it's available to us, and it's flexible, and it's fluid.
And as a result, you can come back to the same story many different times,
uh-huh.
because each person's journey will be less than perfectly linear.
Yes.
And sometimes, I myself anyway, have gone around in circles many, many times on the same path, it seems. So in a non-linear journey, being able to return to a touchstone, but then viewing it from a different angle, picking up a different piece of truth, laying down something that was once valuable to me but no longer is providing value. And even if I lay that down with a sense of it being placed down temporarily, it frees me up to hold the next piece, knowing that there's fluidity in my own response as well as in God's response to me. That's a sacred and beautiful thing that our cultural Christianity doesn't lead us to.
And so, and perspective is important.
Sure.
Perspective
is,
yeah. is important. I was blessed with a trip to Segovia where John of the Cross, because of his past, when there became a heated argument in the context of the monastery, he had a beautiful place to go. I was able to, where he went up, they say in the mountains, but it's actually a kind of a hill with a cave in it. And he could see the castle, he could see the fields, he could see the garden of the monastery. And he would go up there to get perspective. So I think by using this imaginative way of meditating with the scriptures, if you were a wise man, you would have a different perspective than Mary or Joseph.
Right.
So, I think it just lends itself to that spiritual freedom that God gives us.
Yeah, great. Well, Kathy, thank you so much for a wonderful conversation today, for the appetizer, for getting us ready to enter into the conversation a little bit more fully in the next episode. We're going to start this series with the sermon on January 15th, and the next several weeks will be focused on this work in the sermons, and then in the weeks that follow with podcast episodes. And we'll have conversations with Kathy. We have a few other guests who will join us. It's our hope that you will be able to follow along, pick these pieces up as you need them. This is not a discrete set of building blocks that you can just check boxes and stack them one upon another, and at the end of this, you will be done with your project. This is an ongoing journey, and so we hope to be your companions on the journey for the next few weeks, and hold you in our prayers. In the meantime, God bless you, St. David's, and we will talk to you soon.
Thank you.